Amen. Well done, friends. Good morning. Welcome to our service today. Jesu, joy of man's desiring. Lord, you are the one with whom we have to do, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. All revolves around you. And this Lord's Day, we pray that you would be pleased to meet with us, to encourage us. May what we do please you, and may it help us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 1, if you would please. Hebrews chapter 1. This will be a bit of a different service as our Sunday before Christmas has come to be. And I'm glad. I was listening to the podcast, news podcast, The World and Everything in It. On Friday of this week, they were interviewing Mr. John Stonestreet, a wonderful man of God. And he was asked, for what are you thankful? And this was part of his response. He's, in addition to having a new family member join them this year, a baby girl was birthed to their family. He said, I'm thankful that in the chaos of 2017, and by the way, have we not had a lot of chaos in 2017? In fact, he reflected that not only what has passed and that was nationally and internationally and culturally, but there's just a feel that the horizon is full of chaos. And he said, I'm thankful that all of this chaos of the moment finds its ultimate place in the larger hope of the story. Story with a capital S. The story that the pages of Holy Scripture offer to us, centered around Christ Jesus, the incarnate God, who became flesh, who is at the center of all human history. I think many of you know the name C.S. Lewis. One of his writings was entitled Miracles, in which he said, the greatest miracle asserted by Christians, by the way, what do you think it is? Is the incarnation, that God became man. Mr. Stonestreet continued, I'm thankful that the chaos of the moment is defined by the incarnate God and not the other way around. We don't have to stand in the chaos of our cultural moment and think, oh, the story is up in the air. Is it going to work or isn't it? We don't have to wonder because of the certainty of these three truths. Number one, that Christ is Lord. Number two, that Christ is risen. And number three, that Christ will restore all things. None of that changes. None of that changes. No matter what the chaos is internationally, nationally, in our own personal lives, that is true. And it is true, it remains true, and it will take place. And so as we come together on this Lord's Day, anticipating the date that we celebrate the Lord's birth, whether it was or not, we don't know, but that's irrelevant, to celebrating the wonder that God became flesh. We're beginning by looking at these opening verses here in Hebrews chapter 1. The writer begins, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. Think of that. When he had by himself purged our sins, when he cleansed away our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Amen. and amen. Now we're going to turn to the book of Hebrews again in a few moments. So if you're able to set your Bibles aside where you're sitting, oh, still open, we'll come back to it in a while. But let's take our hymn book now and sing a hymn of response. Number 124, Charles Wesley's wonderful hymn, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. Let's stand together and sing both of these verses. And if you indulge me just for a moment, that last bit, by thine all-sufficient merit, raise us to thy glorious throne. The words of songs come back to me at different times. And while I had my dog out this morning, this one was running through my mind. And I came to that verse and I said, that's right. Lord Jesus, it was your all-sufficient merit. It's because you were sinless. And by your sinless death, you've paid the penalty for our sins. Thank you for that, Lord Jesus. Amen. Please be seated where you are. Let's take our Bibles again and turn now to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Dr. R.C. Sproul, I think, was the first person who helped me think outside of the box a little further in this regard. Why was it that God the Father sent God the Son to be born of the Virgin, live 33 years before he offered himself as our sacrifice for our sins, buried, raised, seen for 40 days, and ascended back to the Father? Why didn't he just send him on Good Friday, die on the cross, raise 3 days later, and go back to heaven and be done with it? I don't know that I can give you the full answer. In fact, I think you should look at me and be a little skeptical if I said I am giving to the full answer, unless the God's word said such. But a part of the reason for that is given to us by the writer of the Hebrews. That is, he became our personal high priest. He took on human form, not to show us that it could be done, but to become the sinless one for us. And so the writer to the Hebrews says it this way, at the end of chapter 2, verse 14, and as much then as the children have become partakers of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same. Why? That through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren. He had to become like us, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in all things pertaining to God. Notice, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. Let me stop long enough to define that word propitiation. That's, again, not one of those words that we use in our regular speech. Jesus Christ died on our behalf to take our sins on himself and to bear the full wrath of the righteous God for sin. Someone had to pay for sin. Either we pay for our sins or someone else pays for it. And there's no one else who can pay for my sins or for your sins, humanly speaking. There's only one. That is the Son of God. And so he bore the wrath, the righteous wrath of God in our place. That's what the writer is telling us here. He did this to make propitiation for the sins of the people. And now notice the result, verse 18. For in that he himself has suffered being tested, the Lord Jesus is able to aid those who are tested. You and I, who are mere flesh and bloods with the sin nature that we inherited, even after we've been born again, feel the temptations, don't we? Feel the tests. Here's a word of consolation and comfort. God the Father sent his Son, yes, to be the propitiation for our sins, but to show us, and because he himself suffered, he can help us in our temptations. Turn one more page over to the end of chapter 4. The writer continues, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are. There is no temptation that you and I go through that the Lord Jesus didn't face, and in spades. He was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. Blessed be his name. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, not arrogantly, not with impudence, boldly in the sense of humble confidence. I can come to your throne, the very throne of God, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Was it a good plan that God the Father had to send his Son to be born of the Virgin, to live a full life, to die for us and raise again? Was that a good plan? It was a perfect plan. Blessed be his name. Let's set our Bibles aside now and take our hymn books again. Number 123 from an old Latin hymn, O come, Emmanuel. And you hear the longing of what our Old Testament believers felt as they looked forward to his coming and the tune here. We'll stand together and sing these four verses. Oh. Amen. Please be seated again, and let's take our Bibles and turn this time to Luke chapter 1. Dr. Luke's writing chapter 1. We resume the reading that we have been following now for several weeks. I couldn't help but think as we were singing the last verse of O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, O Come, Desire of Nations, bind all peoples in one heart and mind. Bid envy, strife, and quarrels cease. Fill all the world with heaven's peace. All the even well-intentioned efforts of groups like the United Nations are useless in actually bringing that to fulfillment. It is only the Lord Jesus Christ that will ultimately do it. That is our blessed hope. We continue the reading that we have been following now for several weeks, and we are at the beginning of chapter 2, Luke chapter 2. The good doctor writes, "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered." This was a census that was taken from time to time throughout the Roman Empire for the purpose of taxation, which each of you enjoy doing each year on April the 15th, don't you? Isn't it interesting how the Lord can take even things that are odious to us and turn them for his purposes for much good? I can only assume that within the ranks of Judaism, under the thumb of the Roman Empire, they grieved at having to do this. And it was an extra effort because they had to go to their respective areas. Dr. Luke tells us this census first took place while Quirinius was governing in Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. And this is how it focuses now on Joseph and Mary. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, as she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. I believe in the past I've pointed out, and it's worth saying again this morning, the word manger is a euphemism in our English language for feeding trough. If in fact what God's word is telling us is true, that the eternal God, who knew no beginning, will know no end, agreed in the second person to come to be conceived in a young Jewish virgin's womb, an insignificant poor lady, and now in his birth, he's placed in a feeding trough. It's breathtaking. You and I couldn't have come up with a story if we had wanted to. Only God. Blessed be his name. Set your Bibles aside, if you would, now. Let's take our hymn book again and turn to number 145. O come all ye faithful. We'll stand together again and sing each of these verses. Amen. Please be seated again. Let's take our Bibles once again and continue reading in Luke's Gospel chapter 2. We're told now there were, verse 8, now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were sore afraid. One of the wonderful understatements of God's word, isn't it? Can you imagine? Darkness of night, sheep quiet, maybe a little fire going there, and suddenly the glory of the Lord is there. They were scared. Mega fear. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all the people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, in a feeding trough." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, let's say it together. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Amen. Amen. Let's set our Bibles aside yet again, and we'll take our hymn books and turn to number 133 this time. 133. Another wonderful Charles Wesley hymn. Notice the theology as you sing these three verses this morning. Let's stand together yet again. Amen. Please be seated yet again. And let's take our Bibles and turn back to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verse 15. So it was when the angel had gone away with them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus. Some of you may have a footnote in your Bibles. The Greek transliteration of this from the Hebrew Joshua, which means Jehovah saves, or the Lord is salvation. His name was called Jesus, Joshua, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Amen. And amen. If you would set your Bibles aside yet again now, and let's take our hymn book while we remain seated and turn to number 143. We have carols from different countries. This happens to be a Polish carol. We'll sing both of these verses. Amen. Set your hymn book aside. We're going to sing one of the hymns that's on the sheet music and that we passed out. In fact, we had some folk come in a little later. What Child Is This? Does anyone need a copy of that? Anyone have one? Good. Let's sing these three verses together. Amen. If you take your hymn book again, let's turn now to number 139. 139. Notice at the bottom, this is an Appalachian carol. And we will sing all four verses of this together. Turn to a responsive reading in the back of your hymnal now, number 635. 635. If someone asks you to select scripture reading for Christmas Day, I suppose most of us would turn either to Matthew's Gospel or Luke's Gospel and the birth account that those writers recorded for us there. But the old men in the Church of England, as they ordered the readings for each day of the year, when it came to Christmas Day, said, we want to read the first 18 verses of John chapter 1. I didn't understand that initially, but I've been made to understand why. And it's significant because in what is called John's prologue, John tells us who this is about whom he is writing. And if we understand what he's saying in those first 18 verses, the rest of his gospel will have the impact that it is meant to have in our lives. But if we don't understand it, it won't mean nearly as much. Let's stand together this morning and honor God's word by reading responsively. Number 635, Christ's incarnation. It is John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. John begins, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. May God bless his word to our hearts this morning. Turn to number 118 now in the front of your hymnal. I mentioned that we have hymns from different nationalities, ethnicities. This one happens to be one of the earliest that we have in our hymn book. If you look at the very bottom, you'll see that the text was written by Aurelius C. Prudentius. It's a real name in each of your households, isn't it? Written in the 4th century, so it's quite old, but the words add to what we've just read from John chapter 1. Let's sing these three verses. While you're standing, take the other sheet of music that you received. Come and Stand Amazed is the title. You'll notice that this is a medieval carol from the Dutch Friends, and we'll sing these three verses as well. Amen. Thank you for your singing. Please be seated again, and let's take our Bibles and this time turn to the Gospel of Matthew. A portion of the Gospel of Matthew and his record of Christ's birth. Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was mindful to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, Joshua, the Lord is salvation. For he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. And Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Amen. Amen. Blessed be his name. Let's take our hymn book one more time this morning. Number 125. What a song to end with. Let's stand together now. Stand. Amen and amen. Blessed be his name. Father, we bless your name this morning. We rejoice in the joy of this great salvation that you've given us through Christ our Lord. Thank you, Father, for giving us copies of your word to read that tell us the truth about the truth. Thank you that you have inspired men and women over the ages to write words that augment the truth, that help us to sing back to you praises that are due your name. And thank you, Father, that we could do this morning. I ask, Father, your special blessing and keeping on each heart and life here. Not only physically and mentally, emotionally, but spiritually, Father, would you do the wonderful work in each one of us that we confess only you can do. And so with empty hands, we come to you and we appeal to you for your namesake and for our good. Now unto him who's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be honor and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore. May we say it together. Amen and amen. God bless you and Merry Christmas. We're dismissed.